We're going to take our first session back in the new year to reestablish our goals that are set here at Connect Fort Hill for the year. Well, next week we'll get back to 1 Samuel, and I'm excited about the next part of Samuel because it's going to play into exactly what's going on in the world today, which is really neat. So more of that next week. But it is certainly a message that I have shared sometime in my 16 years of teaching before, but it bears repeating for our growth. I don't remember the last time I shared this message, but I'm sure it was a few years ago. But ever since we began here at Connect Fort Hill, 6+ years ago now, if you can believe that, it's been my desire for each and every one of us to grow closer to the Lord. And one of the ways that we can lay this out for us is to look at the book of Proverbs. So if you would turn there to Proverbs chapter 3, no doubt a message that you may have heard many times. Usually when you hear messages out of Proverbs, what are the verses that you hear? Somebody say 5 and 6. 3, 5, and 6, right? Trust in the Lord. Right. But one of the ways that we can lay this out for us is to look at the book of Proverbs. And so I titled this message, A Proverbial New Year. Okay? Get that little play of words in there? Proverbs? Proverbial? Yeah. Okay, I thought it up. We know that the book of Proverbs was primarily written by King Solomon, along with some other writers at that time. There were a few more, Agar and a couple of other people. But spiritually speaking, no matter where we find ourselves today, my prayer is that we will not allow ourselves to become complacent and stay there. It's one of the things I think that people get discouraged in the church so much, that we're doing the same thing over and over. And the one thing we know that is certain is that time refuses to stand still, does it not? It's flying by. It's already another year, okay? We were getting ready for the holidays, and they're long gone now, right? Pretty soon it'll be Christmas again. And because of that, oftentimes in our walk with the Lord, we hear so many messages in the new year because of that. I'm going to spare you. I'm not going to give you a traditional New Year's message. That comes along with all of the, what do they call those? New Year's resolutions that we never keep, right?
I don't make them, so don't write.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, we made a resolution not to make resolutions, and so therefore we won't miss it. But the countless New Year resolutions that we often make to either to lose weight or get into better shape, or maybe be more diligent in reading God's Word, which isn't a bad one. Okay, that's one that we probably should aspire to. And over every year, the same thing, the same discouragement, the same defeat. And my prayer is that in this year that we have victory in what we do as we come to know the Lord. I heard Kay earlier that the more she reads, the more she learns. There is an idea, right? But I've discovered that a way to defeat that this year, I find myself asking and pondering, Lord, what do you have for your people? Somebody who God has instructed or has given the position to lead people in certain things should always be before the Lord asking, what do you have for your people? I can come up with things for you, but your life is not my life and my life is not yours. God knows each and every one of our lives. And that's what I do as a pastor here, is to pray and ask him, Lord, what do your people need? They're your people. And because you are his people, I'm responsible to him for you. And I want him to tell me what it is that you need. What is the direction you want us to go in? What is the priority for this fellowship called Connect Fort Hill? I see some things probably changing this year that are probably going to be good, but I'm still praying about that. But so far I've heard messages, because I do that. I listen online. I want to know what's going on, not only around me, but around the different areas in the world of different pastors that I listen to. And so far, I've heard messages on what the church needs to do in order to get people back in the building, right? They're really pushing that a lot now. Others, I've heard of giving is the priority. That will tell you that giving's down, right? If you have to keep talking about that. Others, they're still pursuing missions, which is not a bad thing, but we have missions to do right here in our own backyard. Do we not? We do. There are so many people that are unchurched. Now, when I use that term, it isn't just people who've never been to church. It's people who have been to church, but are no longer going. They want to know the Word of God. I know somebody personally who is just, they don't want to go to the building, but they want to learn of Jesus. So I just succinctly just share just slightly of where that's happening, okay? I don't ever say, well, you should come here. No, it's like, that is happening. If you ever get to the place where you're sick of, you know, reading for yourself, come and learn. But there are so many different ideas out there that it makes your head spin. It makes my head spin. So here's what I believe God is calling us to do. As I've been praying about what to share for the new year ahead, I was asking him for wisdom on how to proceed in this. And it's my prayer today that we study this proverb, and that is what helps us to be found faithful to what God has called us to. Amen? We want to be faithful to him. I don't want to be, I'm going to use this term, I don't want to be faithful to one another before I'm faithful to God. I want to be faithful to him first. I want to be faithful to him before I'm faithful to my wife, because in that, being faithful to her follows automatically. I don't have to worry about. Linda mentioned something, was it last night or today, you were saying that our life is good together. We just, what was the word you used? Not get along.
We just get along
really well. And my heart breaks when I hear couples that don't, you know, and I'm like, and I know it's the Lord that has done that. We know that Proverbs is considered a book of wisdom, right? But also the Bible tells us that if we lack wisdom, if you're taking notes, James 1:5 tells us that we're to ask him for wisdom. And how we get it is by reading his word. Okay, so let's begin. Proverbs, beginning in verse 1, Proverbs 3. He says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. So the first thing that we see that we're to observe from this verse is that we are to, and you're going to fill in your blanks now. Number one, read the Bible and get it in your heart. Verses 1 and 2, read the Bible and get it in your heart. Don't just read it and say, well, I have it memorized, but get it in your heart. How often we've encouraged this for all of you throughout this past year. It's not enough just to read it, but we have to get it in our hearts. Why do I use that term? David in Psalm 119:11, he said, your word I have hidden in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. If his word is hidden in there, we're going to remember the next time we want to blow up on somebody, a gentle spirit, you know, brings about this, Lord. And you know, I find it interesting, but before that statement that he makes in verse 11, listen to what he said in verses 9 and 10 of Psalm 119. How can a young man or woman, if you would, cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. What's he saying? Watch what the word is instructing us. Take heed to it. Verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandment. You notice the key in there, what he said? With my whole heart.
That was Psalms what?
119, 9 through 11. With my whole heart I have sought you. Many times people give God the leftovers. We go through the day. Think about that for a moment. This is not to indict anyone, because I'm just as guilty. When you get to the end of your day and you lay down to say your prayers, God puts on your heart to pray for someone. Have you ever thought to yourself, why is this the first time today that I'm praying to him? Oh, I'm the only one that does that? Shame on me. With my whole heart I have sought you. See, it is God's word that will not only help us in our days ahead, but provide peace in knowing it. It's his word. There is absolutely nothing on this TV that can help me with the problems that I have that are in my heart. Nothing. Well, that's not true. Well, if you take this and you take that, but then you read the fine print, can cause blah, 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 blah. You're like, why would anybody take that? Well, but your headache's gone, but the rest of your body's getting destroyed. It's only his word and knowing his word. And I feel that sometimes people are afraid, or maybe they fail to learn the word of God because they don't fully understand it. Has anybody ever been like that? Anybody ever like, I don't know what this means. Even to this day, as well-versed as the Lord has allowed me to be through the school of ministry, there's things where I read, I'm like, Man, there is just, I got to go into my computer now. I got to get out my concordances. I got to get all this, because I want to know what that means. I don't want to be misled. I've seen too many things that people were misled in. I heard a pastor this week who used Matthew 18 out of context, where two or more are gathered together. You use that out of context. And if you use that one out of context, how many other ones did you use out of context? And see, what gets me is the people that are there listening. They're being taught something that is not right. And that breaks my heart. And I'm telling you, if it breaks my heart, I wonder how God must feel if you multiply it throughout the whole world. We need to know what he says and why he said it. And we can fully understand it. And that's why being in a place that truly touches or teaches the word and making the effort to study and follow it is important in our lives. We have to do that. And you know what that takes? It takes time. It takes getting out of our own routines. One thing I have learned turning 70, we are like cats. We are creatures of habit. Yeah. They do the same thing every day. And you try to do, Linda is very good at trying to get me to do things differently. Well, let's go over here. I'm like, eh. Or would you like spaghetti this evening? Eh.
Yeah.
You know, it's like creatures of habit, right? In verse 3 and 4, he says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. What's he saying in verse 3 and 4? Number 2 in verse sheet, be compassionate and truthful. Be compassionate about the things that God has put in his word for us to learn. Be compassionate and truthful. When we follow God's word and literally have them written on our hearts, we will find favor from him. Think about that for a moment. If you wrote somebody, you really wanted to share with them your heart, and you wrote a letter to them, and you're like, oh, I really want to hear back from them. And you send the letter, which we used to do in the 60s and the 70s, right? Now we just email or text, right?
Yeah,
right. I had to have a meeting with my doctor, and I said, I need to set up an appointment with you because what I'm going to say is going to get lost in the email, right? So I want to have a conversation with you. So it's going to be a phone conversation. But even in that, I have to wait till the 20th. I'm like, this guy's busy. But I want him to hear my words. So you write a letter to somebody expressing your heart about how you feel about them, and then you don't hear anything back. Well, how's that going to make you feel? They don't care. They don't matter. I'm not going to do that anymore. Right? So God's written us a letter. He wrote us a letter. My son did a message several years ago. It was a series called God Wrote a Book. And it was so well received that some writer came and told him, I want to write a book about this. Can I have your permission? My son said, no. God gave me that message to give. It's not for other people to make money off of. It's not for me to make money off of. So I don't want you to write the book. And that's so cool. But when we follow God's word and literally have them written in our hearts, we'll find favor with them. It won't be in the works that we attempt to do, but in living out his word as if it was the blood that pumps through our hearts. You don't even have to think anymore when you do something for someone. I watched a video yesterday of a guy who was in a restaurant, and he had this burger, and in the burger he had all this wad of money, and he went up to this African-American young man. He said, hey, can you help me? I want to catch a bus. I need to go see my daughter, but if you could help me with some money, I would be forever grateful. And the guy goes, I don't know. Well, I have this burger. I'll sell you this burger so at least you get some. So he's holding it, facing him with the wad of cash where the guy can't see it. He's just holding it. So he starts asking him a bunch of questions. The guy says, well, you know, I really... So he reaches in his pocket. He goes, look, this is all I have. He had two $1 bills. And the guy says, wow, what's going on in your life? He said, well, I just lost my job and I can't pay my rent. I'm looking for a job. I've been looking for a job all day long and I just can't seem to find a job. Nobody's hiring. And the guy's holding that burger like that. He goes, wow. He said, you need a job real bad? He goes, yeah, I need to pay my rent. My rent's due. I have a daughter that I'm raising myself, and I don't want to disappoint her, but I can't find a job. So he goes, well, you don't have any money. Why would you give me your only $2? He says, because you need help. And I've always been brought up that you help those that need help. He goes, yeah, but you need help. Yeah, I know, but... You know, it seemed like you want to go get see your daughter. And, you know, and so the guy finally says, well, I want you to take this burger. He goes, no, I really don't need it. He said, just you go ahead and take the money. He goes, no, I want you to have. So he sets it on the table. And the guy, the black guy reaches for it. He goes, he doesn't turn around. He goes, maybe I'll eat it later. And he pushes it aside. The guy says, well, I really would like you to have it right now. And he turns it around and he looks. And he looks at the guy and he almost starts crying. He goes, what are you doing? He said, well, you need help. He said, and in there is $5,000. And he saw the guy was going to cry. He goes, but why would you do that? He said, because you were willing to help me and you didn't know. I don't need the money, obviously. But he gave the guy and the guy was just like fell apart. That is living. Even though the guy didn't say he was a Christian, didn't bring Jesus into it all, maybe he did later. But that is living out what is in your heart. He had the heart to help someone. And that's how God wants us to be. See, it is the Word of God that is able to change the most rebellious of hearts. Sometimes I don't want to do that for someone. I'm like, and then I struggle with it. But if in fact we would just get to know Him through His Word, those things will just be branded in our hearts. See, the problem with many in the church today, and I consider this a church, so I'm not blasting the church. I'm blasting the organized church. And the trouble is that they don't trust God to keep His word. They go and hear the messages, but do they really trust Him? And the reason is not because He can't be trusted. It's because we don't know Him the way He wants us to. So the key for us this year as disciples of Jesus Christ will be focusing on knowing more of Him and less of self. We want to know more of Him and less of myself. Too often today, many fellowships are trying to help their people, and I totally understand this and I get this, but they're trying to get them to become something that looks like a Christian so that others will want to come to their fellowship. Do you get my drift there? They're trying to fill the seats. And if you go out and you love on people and you share Jesus and on, they're going to want to come here and learn of that. I get it. But here's the thing. It's focused on how the people look and not on who God is. And in verse 5, I talked about trusting the Lord, why a lot of people maybe have a problem with that. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Remember, there's David again. I have sought you with my whole heart. But he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. It doesn't say He might or maybe. It says shall. I've shared this before with you folks. When I was in the police department, we had a book called The Blue Book. It was about 3 inches thick. And the words that were said in there, it said, member, meaning the police officer, shall do this. He shall do that. There is no room for error. It says, you were instructed to do that. You have to do that. You don't get to veer off in your own way of doing things. You will do it this way. And there's a reason for that. It's a word called liability. Danny.
Well, so far, and I think it holds true throughout the whole teaching you're going to be doing here, but it strikes me that it starts off with a verse that tells us what to do,
mm-hmm.
instructs us. Mm-hmm. The next verse tells us why.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that shows the outcome.
Exactly.
And it continues it, then tells us what to do, then gives us the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
If we do that, I mean, that's, I don't know, it seems God's just not giving us a list of things to do.
No. No.
He's saying, listen, do this, and here's why.
Yeah.
This is what's going to happen if you do it. And now do this, and this is why.
That's right. And we'll get to that. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. But Lord, that doesn't sound right for me to do that. I'm not trusting in him. I trust me, when God showed me years ago, 3 to 6 months and you're out of here, I didn't know. Like, what? What does that mean? You're done. You're finished here. Well, what am I going to do? I'll let you know. See, it's like, I got to trust him. And I couldn't lean on my own understanding because it didn't make sense. But it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Guess where he directed us? Oregon. If I wouldn't have been where I was at that time spiritually, I'd still be in a place that I'd be regretting right now because it's horrible there. I'm glad I didn't say where it was because this is recorded. Anyway. So number three on your list, trust God. Or matter of fact, here's your fill in the blank. Trust God before you trust yourself or others. There's a clue. Trust God before you trust yourself or others. We know that the Word of God says that there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, right? What does that mean? If you're struggling with a decision to make, seek godly people who you know in their lives they have sought the Lord and ask them to pray with you and say, would you keep this prayer at the forefront of your heart? Because I really want to hear from God. That's good advice to give someone. But you need to trust God before you trust your own self or others. You know, this verse is often one of the most used verses when someone is trying to give out advice but fails to heed it for themselves. That's why I said, find somebody that you see who has applied it in their own life. I don't take direction from people who I see who are faltering. I can't. Now, that's not to be mean, but it's like, if you're not doing it in your own life, why would you tell me to do that? Do I really trust God with all of my heart or just a portion of it? Some may say, but I've been burnt and I don't want to be vulnerable. Trusting God brings about a sense of vulnerability. You have to be vulnerable to him. But trust me, I get it. I can totally relate to that line of thinking and have felt those same feelings myself. But I've come to learn that the longer I resist God's ways in life, the longer I stay in that predicament. And then later on, I'm like, well, why didn't you say so? God was like, I told you back there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Oh, that's right. See, the word trust in Hebrew means to lean with the full body. To lay upon, to rest the full weight upon. When we started this study, each and every one of you trusted the chair that you're sitting in to hold you up. You put your full weight in that chair. You weren't going to say, oh, I sure hope this thing holds me up, right? You trusted it. You didn't even think about it. When we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, we don't even think about it. Why'd you do that? Well, because that's what I do. The Lord told me to trust him. I'm going to trust him. I'm either going to trust him or not. And the key is he trustworthy? Yes, we're not. You know, in our thinking, the word trust means to rely upon or to have confidence in. Right? But the Hebrew word is stronger. It has the idea of stretching yourself out upon a bed or resting on a hard surface. And the word means to put your full weight on something. Put all of you on the Lord. Every bit of you. Yes?
When you say that, when you say the, you know, you give that example of, you know, sitting on the chairs and all that.
Yeah.
I think it might be good to take that another step and say, you trusted that chair because you knew I wasn't going to place a weak and shaky chair under you. If you came in and you saw a chair that looked a little iffy, you probably wouldn't sit on it. So I think the same thing we do with God's Word. If we see something that somebody else has written and there's just something that seems a little shaky about it, we're probably not going to hopefully trust it.
No. I hope not.
Right, but we can go back to this, you know, and the one who is presenting it to you, God presents this to us, it's trustworthy. We can put all our weight on it, on him, you know. And I think there are people in life that, even though everyone at some point can fail you, there are people that we know by their actions, and I think that's what Al was talking about earlier, is that you see that they're living out God's word, then you can take what they say with some assurance that it's got some weight to it.
Yeah.
The same way that you trust that Al's not going to give you a weak chair.
Yeah.
You know him enough that you know that he would not do that to you. So can't
we
all more do that with God?
He trusts God, and then I trust him.
You know. But how much more can we do so then with God's word?
Exactly. Exactly. Because it is faultless, and it is without error.
Yeah.
And the thing that the world does today is they attack the word of God in order to attack the people. Roy?
Verse 5
right.
is in the Bible a bunch of times.
Yes.
Right?
You're right.
This is a very good verse because it's scattered throughout.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's how important it is that we trust.
That's right. That's right. And the thing about it is, and I'm going to get to that, you can't trust someone who you don't know. You can't trust them. I shared this before with Pastor Chuck when he was in a restaurant. He said, I forgot my wallet. If it was me that was there, and he says, hey, Al, I forgot my wallet. Would you loan me the money to pay my bill? And I'll give you the money when you get back to the church. Sure. Why? Because I know him. I know him to be a trustworthy man. But what if it was a stranger? Hey, I don't have my wallet. Can I borrow $40 from you? Like, son, I don't even know you. How do I know you're going to give it back? See, you don't know him. There's not that feeling of, sure, no problem. But the Lord can be trusted. But you can't trust someone. See, to trust in the Lord is to rest your whole weight upon him, to depend on him completely. You don't depend on your feelings and don't depend on your way of thinking. Because I hate to bust your bubble, but our way of thinking may be flawed, right? Have you ever thought something and actually, man, why did I think that? Because we're flawed. We're flawed, but we're learning, and that's the thing. If we're not going to learn, we're going to continue to be flawed. But you can't trust someone who you do not know. And I've got that in capital letters, K-N-O-W. I'm getting there. See, in this new year, if you have not trusted God with all of your heart, begin now and watch what happens in your walk and in your life. Things are going to change. Things that used to upset us are no longer going to upset you. Things that used to throw us off the rails are not going to throw us off the rails. I heard it today when Sherry came in. Sherry, how you feeling? Well, right here. She has on her earring. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because I can't do this life by myself. It's over if I do. But it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. How many know that God's direction for our lives is greater than ours? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'd still be in California if I didn't trust him for the direction. But just a little more insight in this verse to help us understand it. The Hebrew word for acknowledge. Yes, Sherry.
Just one thing I was going to say is I don't want to not depend on him.
Yeah.
Now that I've had so long to depend on him,
yeah.
I know he's right here.
Yeah.
I don't want that feeling to go away.
Yeah, amen, amen. I thought about you last Saturday when I had to take an MRI. I didn't put it out. But I got in there and I thought, this is a piece of cake. I've done this 4 or 5 times. Ain't no big deal. They sat me in there and they said, okay, put your headphones on, put your earplugs in, your headphone on, what kind of music you like. And I said, 70s. And so he goes, okay, I'll change it. It's on Christian music right now. I go, yeah, put on 70s. But they wheeled me in. And I sat there. I go, I got this. But about 6 minutes in, I was like, man, my back's starting to cramp up. They said, don't move. Whatever you do, Al, don't move. I'm like, okay. So I said, okay. Well, I'm going to be like Sherry. I'm just going to start praying. Lord. So I got smart. I started counting the songs that were playing. And I timed them. If they're 3.5 minutes long, I got 6 songs to get through. But I made it through it. But I thought about how God, see, I prayed, Lord, you've got to help me with this. I have been through that before, but I got to tell you, that feeling of, what's the word you use when you are in a tight spot?
Claustrophobic.
It wanted to get me. It really did. And I said, how did Sherry do it? She prayed. All right, Lord, You got this. I can do all things through you who strengthened me. My thoughts are on you. I'm going to get through this. And I did. But to get to know him, and I was saying earlier, the Hebrew word for acknowledge can be translated to know. Okay? In Hebrew, the word is, it's written as what is known as an imperative or a command. You could translate this by saying, in all your ways, know him. Just know him completely. Everything about him. Do we know everything about God? No. I don't. I've been teaching for 16 years, and I don't know everything about God. I remember the first time I learned of his love. I didn't know that somebody could love you like that. But the Hebrew word means to know deeply and intimately. It's kind of knowing that comes from a personal experience. And it means to know something through and through, to know intimately. What's the Greek word for that, Roy?
Gnosko.
There you go. Roy's learned. Gnosko. You either know of him or you know him. If you have been in this house for any length of time, you know what those words mean. We say it over and over and over. If you want a little test in your fellowships, walk up to someone and say, do you Oedis Jesus or do you Gnosko him? They're going to be like, bite your tongue, what'd you say? You're going to confuse them. And if they don't know, yes, Linda.
I've read this verse forever and ever, and we all know it. But to me, it's kind of, sometimes I take it as generic instead of specific in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking of this verse, like, in different people even here, like Jackie's purpose in life. You've shared how you want God. I'm thinking, trust the Lord with that.
And that's right.
You with your back, trust the Lord with that and acknowledge him. I think it is definitely specific. I'm thinking of my daughter.
Yeah.
Trust the Lord, acknowledge him all the way, and he'll direct the path and how to handle it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking of it in generic terms, I think it's neat to take it that's specific.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah.
With each specific thing in our lives that we come up against.
Yeah.
That's
especially
right.
The real hard struggles.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you with this. I'm going
right.
to acknowledge you, and I don't understand why. We don't understand, but he's going to direct it if we fully, like you say, put our whole heart and soul into it.
Amen.
Our trust.
The hard thing for me is I have so many wants. You know, it's hard for me to know what he wants from me, not what I want from him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he's not my genie.
That's we're a constant prayer and being in his word, because it says, in all your ways, know him, and he shall direct your paths. You do not want to be in the path where God is not, especially in ministry. You will get wiped out if you try to do a ministry that is not of God. Why? Because there's an enemy, and he will come after you. But when you are doing it, see, the flip side to that is people will say, well, therefore, I won't do ministry, and then I won't get attacked. So basically what you're saying is you're worthless.
Chicken.
Nothing can happen to you that hasn't been sifted through God's hands when you are doing what he's called you to do. See, remember when in Hadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who was the guy in there?
Daniel.
When Daniel was praying, what did the angel Gabriel tell him when he came to see him? God has heard your prayers, but we've been in such a battle. What was it, 21 days? With such a battle with the enemy, it's taken this long for us to get to you. Don't give up. God is never going to put us and allow us to be in something that he hasn't taken care of for us. How do I know that? The cross. Jesus already knew. My Father, I trust him. Even with that, what did he say? Well, Father, if there's any other way, but I trust you. That's basically what he's saying. Abraham, the same thing. When the son asked him, you know, where is the sacrifice? He said, well, God will provide for himself. He trusted God because he knew him. See? Verse 7. I love this one. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. How many of us need a better health? We need to walk a little bit more upright, right? It's telling us, and this is number four, don't think highly of yourself in your blanks. Don't think highly of yourself. Don't be wise in your own eyes. The man who thinks he is wise in his own eyes is deceiving himself. We cannot, as God's people, trust in our own wisdom. If we think we're wise in our own eyes, I got a chance to share with someone yesterday, and I was so excited that I was able to share with him. But I thought, Lord, in the minute I was sharing, I was praying, Lord, he needs your words, not mine. Give me what he needs. And then with that, you walk away, and you can't take that glory. You give him the glory. Amen?
Amen.
Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. That's why you can't trust in yourself. Trust in your own ways. Matter of fact, this is so pointed that it's repeated in Proverbs 16:25. Look how the Message reads regarding Proverbs 14:12. There's a way of life that looks harmless enough. Look again, it leads straight to hell.
Wow.
See, in this coming year, as we prepare our hearts for the coming of the Lord, we need to adhere to his word. It would be sad. I would definitely miss you. But if the Lord chooses to take one of us home this year, I want to make sure that we're all prepared and all ready in that. I need his guidance. I need his wisdom. And when I do that, not only does it keep me from evil, but our verse tells us it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones.
You need to work out now, Danny.
There you go. We're given a similar exhortation in the book of Romans. If you're taking notes, Romans 12:3. He says, for I say, through the grace given to me, this is Paul speaking, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. I didn't even remember until this very moment that I was reading this. In September of 1986, I had went to a men's retreat, and the whole time, they specifically had 10 of us coppers. They paid for us cops to go to this men's retreat. They just wanted policemen there, I guess. And I got there, and through the 3 days, I really didn't get much out of it. A lot of it was because where I was in my walk, I was carnal at the time. I knew the Lord. But I take that back, it wasn't in 86, it was in 94. Yeah, 94, September of 94. I got saved in 86. And when I was at the last session, this verse was shared on. And the Lord had showed me, and it says, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to. The Lord was showing me, you know what? You've been thinking a lot of yourself as a policeman, as a motor officer, as a SWAT officer, all this, you know, accolades. You've been thinking highly of yourself. And I got to tell you, when the Lord shows you that, it's not comfortable. Especially if it's true. And how I knew, I'll share that some other time. But he says to think soberly. So when I came back, that was the only thing that I hung on to the whole retreat. When I came back Sunday night, Monday morning I went to work, and I'm driving. I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to adhere to that, not think more highly of myself, but I'm going to think soberly because God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So I want to grow in him, so I need to reevaluate where I am in my walk with him. And it was that day that I got hit by the car. And it changed the whole course of my life.
Wow.
So I'm thankful that the Lord showed me that. And it wasn't even 5 months later when I was retired. I didn't retire till a year after that. But 5 months after that, I'm looking at TV at some of the motor officers, the new guys that took my position, right? And my bike. And I saw them on TV and I thought, man, those guys think they're all bad.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, that was you. I'm like, wow. Oh, God, help me. So that verse is very strong for me. See, this is why you always hear us stating that it's not about us. It's about Jesus and all that he has for us. It's about him. It isn't about us. Stop thinking of yourself. I shared with Pastor Gino the other day. He was having trouble because he has a tendency to get down on himself of how he grew up and stuff like that. And I said, well, that's what I love, the definition of humility that I heard one time. What is humility? Humility is not thinking less of yourself, right? Oh, I'm this, I'm that, I can't do this again. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Get that? It's not thinking less of yourself because you are a child of God. He created you. Why would you put yourself down? It's just thinking of yourself less, really thinking more of him than myself. Verse 9, we're going to finish up here. He says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. This brings us to number 5 on your worksheet. Give from what God has given you. Give from what he's given you. If he's given you nothing, then give him nothing. But every one of us in here have been given something, that I do know. But the very first thing this morning is he gave us breath. So give breath. Share something with someone. Encourage them. And we can see the progression of what takes place when we trust God with all of our hearts. Something that Danny was saying. Give from what God has given you. When the Lord becomes the priority in our lives, he is the one who gets the honor. This is what I was sharing about the gentleman I was talking with yesterday. Lord, thank you for answering my prayer to give this to him. The glory belongs to you. See, giving to the work that he has placed you in, whether it's time, talents, or treasures, you're going to reap the dividends for it. But if you give nothing, you will get nothing. Give of your time. I'm thankful that my wife allows me to give my time to others. And for one, you'll be obedient to his word. And another thing is that you will never be in want of your need. You're never going to be in want of it. Al, that's not true. See, it doesn't refer just to money. It's in whatever I'm in need of. If you're in need of wisdom, he says there's a storehouse of wisdom for you. I find at my age now, I need more wisdom than I need money. Because when I get money, I need to know what to do with it so that it will last, right? I'm no longer the 20-year-old says just bend it, right? Just blow it.
Put it back in circulation.
That's right. Whatever I'm in need of, and maybe I need a storehouse of wisdom, but when I do my part, it comes. When I do what he's called me to do, it will come. And oftentimes God wants to do a special work in my life, in your life, and it requires us to trust him. And he'll use any means necessary to accomplish that. The question is, do I trust him that he will do that? Verse 11, wrapping up, he says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son, in whom he delights. Now, I've already told you who wrote this proverb, right? You remember? Maybe I didn't tell you. Solomon. Who was Solomon's dad? David. My son. He heard his dad tell him this. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord. If anybody knew the chastening of the Lord, David did, right? Nor detest his correction. Did David get corrected by God? Yes, he did. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. If you don't get corrected by God, guess what? He doesn't love you. And the only way he cannot love you if you're not his. You belong to him. He loves you. And just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Number 6 on your sheet, welcome the pain of correction. Welcome the pain of correction. You might be thinking, Pastor Al, what do you mean welcome the pain of correction? All I know is that if I am heading somewhere that does not lead to God, I need correction. Better to be corrected than to be deceived. We can deceive ourselves. How do I know that? You hear me say it over and over and over. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who could know it? I've always said if someone deceives me, that's bad. Oh, that's bad. But there's only one thing worse when I get deceived by others, and that's when I deceive myself. We need to ask ourselves again, Lord, is everything good between you and me? See, someone who's deceived was going to answer that, yes. Oh, I know things are good between me and God. By the way, if you're asking him that question, matter of fact, I've encouraged you to ask, Lord, is everything good between you and I? And if you do ask him that, let him answer you. Don't answer for him. See, God used correction throughout the Bible to get his people in line. We're going to see that next week. Again, these people faltered again. It wasn't even very long. Said he had to use correction. See, for many this past year, I've witnessed the Lord laying out some correction only to see people I know attempt to deflect it. They refuse to listen. Who does God use to help us to see course correction. He uses others. He uses a message. I don't like that message that pastor shared. I'm going to go to another church. Then you go there, well, I didn't like what he said. I'm going to go to another church. Maybe God's trying to tell you something, right? How do they do this? They deflect it by blaming others and not receiving the correction from their leaders or complaining to others about their situation. By the way, when I say that, there is nobody exempt from that. Not you, not pastors, not church leaders. Nobody's exempt from that. We all need to learn course correction from the Lord. All the while, whole while, there are no more, these people, when they refuse to receive correction, they're no more along in their walks than when they first started. They're still infants. Paul calls them babies. He said, I want to feed you, try to, but you're just a baby. That's why I got to give you pablum, got to give you milk, got to get you strong. Learn how to walk like an adult, so I can feed you like an adult. But trust me, God will not allow us to continue on in that behavior because he loves us. That's why. Many of us in here did not allow our kids to remain kids because we loved them. It's my job to grow you up, to teach you how to be a good human being, a good adult. And it's best to surrender to his correction. In this coming year, may we allow ourselves to receive any and all correction that he has for us. Let's welcome it along with his love. Don't think you can take one without the other. He wants to correct when we're in not a good place. And as the year progresses, we may find ourselves doing things a little bit different, but I'm still praying and seeking the Lord in this, how we function through this study. And that's why I want to just lay this out to you. As we trust him and learn to trust him and to lean on him with all of our hearts, what's going to happen is our joy, our peace, our wisdom in these golden years that we are experiencing are going to come to fruition as we dig deeper into his word and learn who God is. It's not my desire to fill up this house with people. If it happens, it happens. My desire is that whoever God brings through that door learns of him. And this can only happen as we study the word of God, right? It's on your sheet, 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, I want to thank you for your word. And Lord, we make a commitment to you, Lord, this day, that before we even get here, Lord, our prayer will be, Lord, teach us from your word. Before those who go into a fellowship on Sunday or midweek, may their heart be prepared the day before to say, Lord, I'm going there to learn of you, not to make my attendance.